To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep, and four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. This episode is sponsored by By Heart. By Heart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, By Heart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. By Heart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. By Heart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. So I hope you're having a great week and you're ready for the changes that come with the season changing. I know with younger kids, there isn't much changeover for a lot of you when it comes to school schedules and such things. But if you have older kids, or if you're a teacher and you're they're in daycare or something, then there is going to be a change for you. But if that's your case, then I know that you are probably like me, looking forward to a switch. I'm personally really excited that my kids will finally be leaving the house a few days a week starting in mid-June. I cannot wait. Not just for me, and not even about me at all, but for them. They need that connection with other kids. So I'm very much looking forward to them being able to get out and be around other kids during the day. Yay! So it cannot happen soon enough. Okay, today's question is about separation anxiety that is a bit more on the extreme side. So I am going to cover this question today. And our listener wrote in and she said, "Hi, this is Claudia. I have a question for you. I have a toddler who is 2 in a few weeks. He's struggling with daycare preschool. On Monday, it will be his 3rd week, and the teacher spoke to my husband last Friday and mentioned they have not seen any improvement, and he won't eat his lunch at times, and a few days, all he does is cry all day long. They will try different ways this week. If there's no improvement, they will discuss other options. They don't want to do any harm to my son or allow him to influence other toddlers in his class. A little backstory, he has never been in any other watch but mine or my mother-in-law's. There's been a huge change in our life where we moved into our new house. He is no longer having a bottle for any form of comfort. We transitioned him to sleep in his own room, and he still wakes up in the middle of the night and sneaks into our bed. I know it's a lot on him, but I don't know what to do. I'm lost as a parent. He is my first and only child. At home, his behavior has changed. He cries if I leave the room or I'm not in sight. Tantrums like no other. Please help. Okay, so I want to start out by giving a quick introduction to separation anxiety. I know I've discussed this before in other episodes, but it is a great refresher for anyone who hasn't heard it before or for anyone who's listening to this question so that we're all understanding on the same page. Just to lay some groundwork for the information so we all understand what it is, why it happens so often with toddlers. So while the separation anxiety that Claudia's son is experiencing is more than we normally see in toddlers, I still feel like it is within the range of normal, especially given all the changes. So after I cover the basics of separation anxiety, I'm going to talk about why this is still not something I feel is a big concern, but I'm going to give some tips to really help Claudia make steps toward her son feeling more secure, because you definitely don't want to let this go on if he's going to keep crying at school, because it could cause some real issues and just ingrain the separation anxiety. So we want to release that anxiety to some degree because it's more intense. I'm going to talk about why I'm saying it's more intense and what the actual flow we would expect to see. Okay, so in young children, an unwillingness to leave a parent or a caregiver is a sign that attachments have developed. The attachment is a deep and enduring emotional bond that connects one person to another across time and space. Now, infants and toddlers in this age range struggle to balance their desire for autonomy, their individuality, their independence, with their need for security that the responsive caregiver provides to them. So they struggle back and forth. So I'm going to talk about why it's good for your child to experience separation anxiety when it's in a little bit more of a normal level. Your child gets practice at dealing with anxiety and stress. Your child needs to learn how to experience anxiety and conquer it. It is the beginning of building a very important life skill known as our coping. It builds the character trait known as resilience, which is also a piece of self-esteem. So these are all important because you want your child to learn how to bounce back from setbacks and disappointments. So here are some factors that can affect the degree of separation anxiety. And you're going to recognize this in Claudia's son right away. As I've already touched on, a secure attachment increases the likelihood the child will experience some level of separation anxiety. Now, obviously, the attachment is a good thing. But life stressors can also increase it. Even unrelated events like a grandparent passing away, a move, a divorce. When a child is stressed, just like adults, they tend to have a lower tolerance for other stressors. So I think all these changes are definitely affecting Claudia's son more than they would if he had just happened to start school, but everything else had stayed the same. Additionally, the parent's reaction can strongly shape a child's perspective. So if your child is dealing with separation anxiety and you're reacting in a big way, or you're feeling bad and, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I have to leave you, or you're getting a little worked up about it, if you get nervous, you react strongly to their distress, it can make it worse. Keeping a positive, upbeat attitude for the parent is absolutely crucial. Also, children with certain traits of temperament are more prone to experiencing separation anxiety. These traits include they're highly sensitive, they're more intense, they're highly realistic, and they're slow to warm. Now, I cover those in the temperament class. I don't know if Claudia's son has these. Chances are he does have one or more of them, but if that's something you're curious about, I definitely recommend seeing that class. But children with one or more of those will likely experience separation anxiety more frequently or more intensely than children who do not exhibit the traits. As they grow and develop more coping skills, things will smooth out. Again, you can learn more about that by watching the class on temperament that is on the website at yourvillageonline.com. So my experience with separation anxiety, just so you know what I dealt with when my kids were little. As you know, I have three kids. we experienced, or I experienced, a moderate spectrum of separation anxiety. So two of my kids I would classify as average in the expression of anxiety upon being left, with some struggling at drop-offs, especially in new situations. Our daughter would actually go through stages of being fine and then struggling for a few days, even at her school where she had been going for months and months on end, where also her brothers were both dropped off with her, where she knew the teachers, where she knew the kids, and it was a small school of 8 to 10 kids, but she would still experience the separation anxiety. It would just hit her. She'd have it for a couple of days at a time and really struggle with those drop-offs. Now, her twin brother, only once can I remember he ever had a very small protest at my leaving, and it lasted, I want to say, 30 seconds. And I was almost a little offended that he never seemed to miss me or minded when I walked out the door. But I want to give you parents whose children don't experience separation anxiety, who don't react to that, rest assured, your children who do not express separation anxiety, it does not necessarily mean that you don't have a secure attachment. I had a secure attachment with all three of my kids. I parented them all the same. It likely only means that this child has a very different temperament. Now, Chandler, the one who really didn't experience much separation anxiety, is the most snuggly, lovey, connected, warm child. Says, I love you all the time. He says, I love you more than you'll ever know. He's amazing and adorable and very, very connected. But he just happened to always be excited about going into school, seeing his peers, having new experiences. And then Carter fell somewhere in the middle of these two. Didn't have the issues, off and on like Taylor did. It was more like with new experiences. But once he was settled into a school or a situation, he didn't go back and revisit it after that. Okay, there are four stages to separation anxiety. So when separation anxiety is in a more normal range, I hate to use the word normal, more healthy range, I don't even like the word healthy because I don't feel like Claudia's son is unhealthy with this. I just think he needs some extra support. But this is what we would expect to see. So they may sound a little scary, some of these, but they're all normal and they pass through each stage quickly. So this is what we want to see. We want to see them passing through each stage quickly. Now, Claudia's son is not passing through these some days because he's staying upset for most of the day. So the first stage is the protest stage. This is where the child will kind of scream, cry, grab, beg, that kind of thing. This is a healthy response. It's a coping mechanism because it works to keep the caregiver present for longer. A lot of times this works. The second stage is despair. I know that sounds terrible. It's not terrible. It happens right after the parent leaves. The child may drop to the floor. They may sob for a few minutes. The third stage is adjustment. This is what we want to see after maximum 20 minutes, but usually it's much, much quicker. But you want to see the stage of adjustment where the child finds a way to calm themselves. They engage with the teacher or with a friend or in some play of some sort. The last stage is emotional detachment. Now, again, this sounds bad, but it's not. This just means they change their focus from the despair, from the attachment. It's not like their attachment leaves. That's what I want to say here. But the focus isn't on the attachment to the parent or missing the parent. The focus changes onto connecting with a friend or an activity or the teacher. So it's just a switch. But underlying, obviously, that attachment is still there. It's there through time and space, no matter what. Okay. When we get back after the break, I'm going to give some more background information about this developmental process, some tips to work with children who are really struggling with separation anxiety to alleviate this experience for everyone. So whether your child is moving through these stages, but they're taking a little longer, or they seem to be struggling with it throughout the day, I want to give some tips so that these children can feel the support that they need, gain the security that they need so that they can become more independent. And then also for the parents, so they don't feel so guilty about leaving their child to try to work through this for such a long period. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Now that we're back after the break, I'm going to discuss one more aspect of this balance of attachment versus security, or attachment and security versus independence. And then I'm going to get to specific tips on working on improving the feelings of security so that your toddler and even young children. So while separation anxiety usually dissipates for most kids around the age of 4 to 5, for some kids it can come and go up to around age 7. Now, if you have a child that you're seeing separation anxiety going on after the age of 7, especially if they're kind of some big protests, then it's definitely time to talk to your pediatrician and get in for some counseling to help them work on that. Okay, as our toddlers age, they do create more and more secure attachments with us. They become more and more secure, which means they can be more secure to be independent. You need the security before the independence. And so they'll kind of bounce back and forth. So you'll often see a toddler at gatherings, parks, that type of thing, where the parent is still present. I know we're not doing a lot of this right now. And if this has happened in the past, or if you are able to start engaging in this, I hope it can start to happen again soon. If you're not, even to a small degree, but you'll see the toddler go play with something or play with a friend and then come back and check in with the parent. This is their way of making sure their attachment figure is still available to connect with them. They're just coming back for that security. Once they're like, okay, we're good, I'm secure, they'll then go back to playing and being more independent, playing with a friend, playing with a toy, running around, that type of thing, and not having to be by the parent's side nonstop. So this is the healthy way of them showing that they're working towards that independence, but they also still need that connection and security and reassurance. If your toddler does not feel like joining in play or leaving your side, it's okay. Just encourage, but without pushing. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But these are really important skills for adult relationships. In adult relationships, we talk about attachment disorders. And so this is an important part of being able to be attached and also an individual. So this is kind of an interesting balance that we all work on throughout life. And I've talked about this in another episode, the work of Esther Perel. She talks about this, about being in an adult partnership and how we need to allow our partners to be an individual, to be their own person, to have their own desires and their own interests and their own hobbies and that type of thing. but then also where we're connected in other ways and we have a deep connection and how we balance that. Well, it starts here in toddlerhood with the security versus independence and helping them develop that independence, but also helping them understand that we are still there for them. And that helps a child build a secure attachment style so that they can have healthy relationships in the future. Okay, so I'm going to talk about age for a minute, because the ages around 3 to 3.5. Now, these are not like drop dead cutoffs, but this is the main range, 3 to 3.5. You might see it a little bit earlier, but usually not. Usually right around 3 to 3.5 is when your child will be exploding in social skills. This is when they're finally developing cooperative play skills. They begin to build connections of friendships too, where they want to play with the same kids. They want to connect with the same kids that they feel some sort of connection with, they feel akin to, that like to play the same types of games or toys or the same way, or the same energy levels, that type of thing. For this reason, for Claudia or any other parent whose younger toddler is struggling with separation anxiety in preschools or other drop-offs or other, you know, play scenarios, at barely 2 or really anything under 3, there isn't much social interaction happening. Now, it may look like this, since young kids are all sitting near each other, they may hand each other a crayon or a block or something, but they aren't really capable of interactive play with other toddlers, of building of ideas, of sharing of ideas and conversations. So if your toddler is really struggling, like Claudia's son, there's really no social interaction that you need to feel concerned that they're missing out on. So you want to take the time to work on increasing their feelings of security, and then you can have them start their preschool closer to 3 or 3.5. Or you can do it earlier if you feel like they're secure, if the drop-offs are better and they can still have their meltdowns, they can still have their struggles, but they need to work through those stages fairly quickly. We'd like to see them work through them within a few minutes, like 5 minutes. But if it takes 20 minutes for them to work through and settle in, that is also a very normal range of settling through those 4 stages. Okay. But 3 to 3.5, starting around that age, is actually when preschool is the most advantageous. That's when they're exploding with their social skills. That's when it's good to be around other kids and interacting and learning those interactive play skills and learning those friendship skills and learning how we find that there's certain other kids who we kind of take to more than others. That's all going to happen in that 3 to 4 age range. So you're not missing out on anything if you have a younger toddler and the drop-offs are terrible and you feel terrible and, you know, it's just not going well. You can pull back and work on this. I'm going to give 2 tips right now on how to do that, but you can pull them out of school or daycare for the time being. Okay. So you want to take the time to get the child comfortable at home so that you can leave the room. This is particular for Claudia, since you said that this is the struggle that you're having and you can't even leave the room without the meltdowns. Once he's no longer going to preschool, then this will likely dissipate within a few weeks anyway. So you want to work on the secure connection and some ways to do this. I'm going to talk about this in a second, but I also want to talk about there are a lot of those life stressors. So the move, the new bedroom or his own bedroom, and some of the other stuff that you talked about are definitely affecting this. So you want to just kind of envelop him in this feeling secure in the new home, in the new schedule, in the new room, just feeling really comfortable about this. So this is what you're going to do. You're kind of just wrap this little boy up in love. You're going to really help him to just feel really secure in this new environment and with the changes. Then you'll be able to start moving towards more, a little bit of separation at a time. So here are some things to do. 20 minutes of one-on-one time every day, if you can, or as many days that you can a week, anytime during the day, doesn't matter when it is, getting down on the floor and playing whatever he wants. You want to follow his lead. If he pulls out the Duplo, you're going to take some blocks and ask, what are we building today? Where do you think I should put this big yellow block? What do you think about this little blue one? Do you think this maybe right here is good? You want to just really follow his lead. Let him give instruction. Let him play leadership role and really just get down on his level and do this. Now you're going to spend some solid time connecting. You're going to have him help with tasks around the house. So when you need to get some things done, because we all do, whether it's putting things on the table at lunchtime, you can hand him something to take over. Maybe his own plate and a fork. Maybe it's a bottle of dressing. You know, handing him clothes out of the dryer and he puts it in the basket. So you're going to fold it. And then maybe he's helping you match socks. Any little task that he can do. This builds self-esteem because he feels needed. He feels valued. He gets to spend special time with you. So it really helps him feel more secure in this connection. So those are some great things to do. Then you want to have play dates with one or two other kids. You can have them at your house or at their house or go to the park. And that doesn't have to be with other kids. You can just go to the park just to go. You don't have to be meeting other kids there. But these are practices. These are ways that he gets to practice playing around other kids with you close by. He can come check in anytime he wants, but he will feel more comfortable exploring the other kids' toys. If you're at their house, at the park, you know, other kids will bring toys and all the kids kind of just hand the toys around and play with them. And he'll feel more secure playing in that scenario, or playing on the park equipment and climbing and doing the slide, working on some physical separation because he knows you're right there, you're staying, you're sitting on the bench, I'm going to be right here, I'm watching you, you know. And then the toys and the climbing equipment are enticing enough to get him to engage with something other than mom. Now, if he struggles with this for a little bit at first, that's fine too. You can encourage without pushing. If he, if he just wants to sit by you, then you can lead by example. Let's go down the slide. Let's go sit in the sandbox and play with our sand toys. And maybe there's another little child sitting nearby and you can sit near that child and then you can talk to that child. And, hi, this is Lucas. What's your name? You're modeling a conversation that your child, could eventually have with this other child or would potentially want to have with a child in a social situation. You're just going to model some of that. Okay, once this is going well, you're going out to the park and he's going off and he's going up and down the slide without you needing to be right there. He's maybe, giggling with some other kids up and down the slide. He's doing play dates at other kids' houses and playing with their toys. And he's only, you know, just coming and checking in, but he's not by your side, you know, the entire time you're there. Then you can do some small outings. These are like 20 to 30 minutes while you're leaving him with someone, especially if it's another mom, he's been around during these play dates, something like that, it won't be totally unfamiliar. Even if he's struggling the entire time you're gone, at this point, hopefully he's not and it goes well. Either way, you're back in 20 to 30 minutes. So it's not this ongoing for hours, you know, crying off and on for the day. If he's not taking to it, go back to the park and the play dates and keep working on it and try again in a couple of weeks or a month later. Once you can leave, and he seems to either have little reaction or he does the normal protest, but gets over it within a short period, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and then moves on to playing. And this would obviously be a report from the other parent, not something you're going to see because you're not there. Then you're going to start to stay away for longer. You're going to do 45 minutes to an hour, and then you're going to take it up from there. So now you're doing these play dates. He's going over to another kid's house for an hour at a time. He's doing great. You want to try preschool again. He's 2.5. He's 3. He's 3.5. Whatever his age is, and you want to feel like you want to try it again, then you can start doing that. He should be well practiced. He's able to at least start out with half days. So I would do some half days of preschool, not full days, and then slowly move him into that. Whatever is your preference, so long as he's managing well. By managing well, again, I mean, he can still have separation anxiety. He can still struggle with it. He can still not want you to leave, but you know, you leave and within a few minutes, he's calming down and engaging with the friends, the teacher, the activities. Okay, when you do get to the stage of leaving, you want to create a goodbye ritual and you want to keep it short. You want to do it and then leave. You want to send the message that goodbyes are okay. I'm leaving you in a safe place. If you stay and you prolong it because he's struggling and you feel bad and it becomes this whole thing, it builds more angst because the child learns that their reaction will keep you longer. So all it's going to do is up that reaction. The goal is for the child to move away from the parent, not the parent from the child. But this is not always possible. So don't feel like this is what you have to have before you can leave, especially in the beginning. But that's what you want to work towards. And you will get there. You'll get to the point where you drop him off and he's like, bye. And he runs off to see his friends. At first, That may not happen for a lot of kids. You may have to say, okay, I'll see you in a couple hours, or I'll see you after lunch, or whatever it is. Letting them know that goodbye is okay and you will be back. Whatever you do, do not sneak out. This adds to the anxiety the next time. It works completely against what you're trying to accomplish, which is your child learning how to cope with being left. So what it does is it really messes with the trust factor. When you sneak out, it breaks down the trust, right? I turn around and my parent disappears. I didn't get to say goodbye. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure, even, I know it's hard, and I know it's hard to watch them cry or see them be upset. It rips your heart out. But that is a much kinder way to do it than to sneak out, because otherwise it actually just creates a much bigger feeling of abandonment and being left. So you don't want to do that. As I mentioned earlier, you don't want to push your child to join the other. So if you're saying goodbye, you don't want to be like, go play with those kids. Hey, look what they're doing. Go over there. Point it out. You can encourage, hey, they look like they're having fun over there on the swings. Why don't you go over and join them? But if they don't want to go, it's okay. If you push, it just backfires. The more you push, the more they feel insecure about joining the other kids, the more they just want to cling to you. So the goal is to support their autonomy without forcing it. So I hope this was helpful for everyone dealing with any kind of separation anxiety concerns. If you want to learn more about your child's unique temperament, the ways you can support them with any struggles they have, including separation anxiety based on their own temperament traits, the class on temperament is great. Also, the class on self-esteem, because this is an important piece also I talked about earlier. There's two classes, ages 0 to 5 and 5 and over. I have a lot of information, background information, lots of tips on how to help your child build a strong sense of self, self-esteem, and self-confidence. And there's actually some common things that parents will often do where they think they're helping their child's self-esteem, but they're actually working against it. So it's good to know what those are. It actually undermines the self-esteem instead of building it. So, and then of course, the class on separation anxiety does cover some additional information, different scenarios, and some tips for preschool drop-offs in particular, that you can do to make them even smoother, help your child with the transitions. And these and all the other 60 plus parenting classes, including the latest one on mindfulness for kids, are all on the website at yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.